Hello, and welcome to part two of Chatterbox. I'm John Francis, and today I'm joined by Lynette Edwards. We have a few more news items, information desk, and another feature.
Hello, everyone. Here are our first set of news stories for part two. A Norfolk farm valued at £1.5 million is up for sale, adding to the rising acreage of agricultural land hitting the market this year. The 112-acre block of high-quality arable land north of Hoveton, with the benefit of an abstraction licence for irrigation, is being sold via agents Arnold Keys Islands Agricultural. It follows last week's news that three farms spanning 965 acres of land near Dereham were being sold by Savills, with a total value of £10.7 million. Tom Caulfield, partner at Arnold's Keys Islands Agricultural, said the rising number of farms coming onto the market continued a trend dating back to last year, driven by a multitude of factors. As well as classic reasons such as retirements and issues with family succession, more recent factors include extreme weather, high production costs and inflated labour prices. Meanwhile, the withdrawal of basic payment scheme subsidies, which are now being phased out in favour of new environmental incentives, has hit farming incomes, while high interest rates had made borrowing more expensive, prompting some farmers to sell land to fund diversification projects, he said.
Work to build a new £47 million bypass in Norfolk has begun after the government rubber-stamped the money that it will give for the project. Construction of the A140 Long Stratton bypass began on Tuesday the 28th of May after Norfolk County Council's full business case for the scheme was finally approved. The Conservative-controlled council has already closed roads and carried out preparatory work to pave the way for construction of the 2.5-mile single carriageway road, but the bulk of construction couldn't start without Whitehall's confirmation of the money that it will put towards the scheme, which has just been received.
A developer has lost his battle to build holiday lets and a restaurant at the site of a historic Norfolk Broads hotel that burned down 30 years ago. Proposals to redevelop the Old Bridge Hotel site next to Potter Hyam's ancient river crossing were first rejected by the Broads Authority in 2021 due to flooding concerns. Applicant Nick Macmin had sought permission for 8 one-bedroom and 4 two-bedroom flats for holiday use, along with a restaurant and covered car park. After his proposal was turned down, he appealed to the Planning Inspectorate, the government department that presides over planning disputes, arguing that permission had already been granted to rebuild the fire-stricken hotel in 1993. He argued that work had already begun through the demolition of the remains of the hotel, which meant the initial permission was still valid and had not expired. But both the Environment Agency, EA, and Broads Authority, BA, claimed any building at the location would be at high risk of future floods, with this danger increasing with expected rise in sea levels due to climate change. The dispute led to a public inquiry being held, during which villagers, the developer and the EA and BA made their case to the planning inspector. After listening to the opposing arguments, the official acknowledged that redeveloping the site would increase employment and draw customers to this honeypot, and that it would offer environmental benefits from tidying what is currently an unattractive site next to an important heritage asset. However, they ruled that those benefits would not outweigh the increased flood risk, and they couldn't justify overturning the decision.
A new rule giving patients and their families a louder voice has been hailed as a potential game changer after being adopted by all of Norfolk's main hospitals. The Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital, the Queen Elizabeth in King's Lynn, and the James Paget in Galston have all been included in the initial rollout of what's known as Martha's Rule, named after Martha Mills, a 13-year-old girl who died from sepsis. The rule allows patients, families and carers to request an urgent independent second opinion if they feel their loved one is deteriorating and their concerns are not being heard. A rollout of the rule was announced by the NHS this month, with 143 hospital sites nationally involved in a trial run of the approach. The escalation process will be available 24/7 at all sites, with an internal phone number advertised on posters and leaflets throughout the hospitals.
A county councillor has said small-scale nuclear reactors would make more sense than constructing pylons across swathes of the Norfolk countryside. During a Norfolk County Council debate about the contentious plans for the Norwich to Tilbury 114-mile pylon route, Conservative Tom Fitzpatrick said nuclear power could negate the need for such schemes. Mr. Fitzpatrick bemoaned how National Grid's pylon plans would take power from wind farms off the Norfolk coast to Essex, without Norfolk benefiting from any of the electricity. He referred to the small modular nuclear reactors which Rolls-Royce are developing and said this was a better way to produce energy, which could be used locally. He said, "Why would anyone think it's right that a series of pylons be run across Norfolk when there's actually no benefit to Norfolk and building is actually deleterious to the county?"
An East Anglian shepherdess said she will be honoured to become the first female sheep shearer to showcase her skills at the Royal Norfolk Show. The county's traditional summer spectacular will feature a series of educational attractions when it returns to the Norfolk Showground on June the 26th and 27th. Among them will be the sheep shearing demonstration by Suffolk shepherdess and farming blogger Tilly Abbott. The sheep shearing equipment to be used during the demonstration has been funded by the Clan Trust, part of a £10,000 grant supporting aspiring young farmers and rural education at this year's Royal Norfolk Show. As well as the new sheep shearing demo, the Norfolk-based charity has donated towards the Discovery Zone and the STEM Village, an area featuring interactive exhibits aiming to inspire teenagers about science, technology, engineering, maths, and medicine. Topics covered will range from future food production through precision agriculture to how offshore wind generates clean, renewable energy. Meanwhile, the Discovery Zone, located next to the STEM Village, will explore the life cycle of sugar beet, showing visitors the process of planting, growing, and harvesting this staple East Anglian crop, as well as the factory processes which turn it into sugar.